evening, gentlemen. Good evening, good evening. Last night, Besiyata Dishmaya, we learned the rules of Haroma. Today we are going to, in Yetzer Hashem, learn a little more about a different concept, which here again is one of the main Ma'amekomos, one of the main sources, is over here, and that's the halachos of Shutfus. Very interesting how we learn, if you also want to learn Shas and Poskim, well, we've got many concepts here, yes. So we've got over here a concept of Shutfus, and it's one of those philosophical questions which really has got an enormous amount of halachic implications. How do you define a partnership? When there's two partners, really, it's quite mind-boggling. What is exactly the definition of a... I'm sure there's laws about it in the legal world. There's certainly in the monetary world, there must be also a huge amount of definitions about it. How do you define a partnership? Does that, and in a very basic way, one can ask, is it that everybody owns... Both partners own everything, or is it that each of them owns half? Now, if you're telling me that each of them owns half, how does that actually physically, what does that mean? So is it like, if I've got a partner for this Mishnah Berurah, is it half the pages is his, half the pages is mine? Is it the top part, the lower part? Is it the English side or the Lashon HaKodesh? How do you figure out what does it actually mean, the partnership? And it's really important. So obviously, if you are able to, the easiest way, of course, if because of financial, if it's £50, we all know that when it comes down, at the end of the day, we're going to divide, you know, £25 each, obviously. But that's, you can only do that when it's pure geld. When it's real money, can do that. But as soon as it's not money proper, it's very hard to figure out partnership. Yossel, your partnerships? It's quite hard to...
It depends what we're talking about. If it's a corporate partnership or if it's a property partnership, it's a different thing, isn't it?
Please elaborate.
I don't want to bore you too much.
No, we want to hear that.
There's two ways. If you own a property with your spouse or with a partner, there's two ways to own it. One is called joint tenants, which very much is the kind of abrera, everything belongs to everyone, and there's hardly, you can't distinguish who it belongs to.
That is called what? If everybody owns everything, that's
joint
called
tenants.
Dual tenants.
Joint tenants.
And that would be true for an enterprise as well. Or is that
being advised by your lawyer? You shouldn't do that in the case if you're there with your own spouse. Because it's hard to break that. That type of partnership.
So okay.
The other way of earning property is by something called tenants in common.
What does that mean, tenants in common?
50-50.
Which half? How do you actually figure out which half is his, which half is mine?
You don't, but it's easy to break into a percentage of what it's worth.
Right.
Value, but not actual physical.
That's property ownership, but ownership of companies and stuff is corporate. That would be governed by partnership law. And law firms there's a structure called LLP, which stands for limited liability partnership. So in English law, it does mirror the it comes from
the right places, you say. Very good. Yes, there we go. It comes from right. Good. So Lemaisa, the reason why this is an important question, one of the questions that arises from that is if you want to shecht a behemon yom tov. And we're going to see that it's in micro, but really we can see much more from this, from the implication over here. We can learn much more about shutfus. Because the question is as follows. I know that if I've got an animal which I want to shecht on yom tov, then, assuming that all the other parameters are met that we've discussed previously, I can shecht the animal on yom tov. Sure I can. It's my animal. I'm allowed to shecht. Hoichel nefesh. I shecht it. And I eat it. Very nice. Now, what happens if the animal belongs to the goy? Then, of course, the answer is, I cannot shecht it because it's not mine. I can't shecht an animal stump randomly. I cannot shecht an animal. Now, the question is therefore going to be, what happens if I've got an animal which I have a partner? My next door neighbor called... my next door neighbor, we actually, this cow actually, it's a shutfus, it's a partnership. I can't own a full cow, it's too expensive, and I therefore I've got this, and we own, now I want to, I want to shecht this animal. I want to shecht this animal, and the question is, can I shecht it or not? Now, even more exciting is the question: what happens if we own? And that's really where, where we can see the shaila. What if I've got a partnership with a goy and it's two cows, it's two animals, two cows or two chickens? How does it work then? So I want to take one of them and shecht it and eat it on Yom Tov. Can I or can I not? What are the two told him? What would you say if I have a partnership with a goy and we own two chickens?
Is this a brayer shaila?
Elaborate.
You could have retroactively designated.
This is yours.
The one or the other. That would apply if there's two. But
yeah.
You can't really.
Okay, so let's go to the two. The two is a really good challenge. You're saying, if Russell says.
Is it owned?
It's partnership.
Everyone owns a bit of both.
Exactly. That's really the question. If we say that partnership means he owns 50% and I own 50%, then it's very clear. And if I can check one animal, it's mine, and it's very good. And the other one is his, and that's it. However, if we say that partnership actually works very differently, partnership is really all about both of us having full possession of everything.
Yeah.
Is that called joint?
Yeah. That scenario is called joint tenancy.
Joint tenancy.
It completely comes from this.
Yeah. Then I cannot shecht the animal, I cannot have it, because it's true that it's mine, but it's equally his too. And I can't shecht the animal which belongs to a goy. Now, if it belongs to the goy too, then it doesn't help the fact that it's mine as well. Because at the end of the day, it's the goy's. I cannot shecht it. So therefore, we've got to be a crucial shaila. And really, the best way of seeing it is in the case of two cows, of two animals. And that is going to teach us a huge amount about the definition of shutfus, not only with regards to there, but much more than that, well beyond this area of halacha. It's going to teach us a lot about the concept of shutfus in the Torah. Yeah.
What's the good with Yom Tov? I mean, if it was a weekday, who belongs to the goy?
Yes, but then I can shecht it anyway. The reason why I cannot shecht it is because it belongs to the goy. Okay, we'll see more. Let's look at the Mishnah. You'll see
soon. If
he gave me a shush, I suppose, yeah, then he could figure. The problem is that I cannot shecht an animal shloi letzoyrech. Say if it's the animal, if the animal belongs to the goy, and I'm, then it's shloi letzoyrech. You're saying that? What are you saying that?
The same shiloh will happen on the weekday, but it won't be as a mukta.
No, it's a little more to that. We'll see the Mishnah Bosif Kodan Samach. Hold on a sec. Keep that. We'll see it in a minute. So let's see Shulchan Aruch. Sif Yud Aleph and Shulchan Aruch, bottom line. Behemo chetze shal en Yehudi. If you've got an animal which belongs half to the goy, chetze shal en Yehudi belongs to the goy, chetze shal Yisrael, and half the animal belongs to the Yid. Shechoylim neshachtu b'yomtev, you may shechtu in Yomtev. You may. Ve'afridun even. Yeish lo'em shtayim, even if there is two, yocholish choyt shtem, you can still shech both animals. Here you go. You may shech both animals. Now let us get this a little bit more clear with the aid of the Mishtabus of Kotten Samach. Yechol mishachto, you can shech, the kiven, sins. So this is talking about the case of one, of the one animal. Kiven, the efshal lechazayis, bosa b'lo shchita, since it's impossible to have a kazayis, even a kazayis, the minutest, the smallest amount of meat, b'li shchita, without slaughtering, without shechting the animal, any oisa yisrael b'shvil akum, the yid ultimately is not shechting for the goy, klum, absolutely anything, elo le'atzmoy, who oisik, only is doing it for himself. So, the point is, why can you shecht one? You can shecht one because although half of it is yours, half of it is not yours. But since there's only a way of, since you have a permission of eating your half, and there's only way, the only way of for you eating your half is by shechting the entire animal, therefore you can shecht the entire animal. In Lu Yitzu, you could shecht the half animal, you would have to do that.
It's just unusual
score, isn't it? It is. I agree, because it's a general rule, Shas rule, this. That generally allows us, this is a way of allowing the shchita of the entire animal, despite the fact that you don't really need the entire animal. You may not need the entire animal, or in this instance, you may not have the entire animal.
But how do you not connect with it? That's the point, isn't it? How does
the spora
help you around the issue of?
No, so you're right. In terms of Geneva, you'd have to figure it out with him.
Since I need to,
you have to get that. You're right. On a monetary level, you have to sort it out with him. You're right. So it is. I suppose it is beyond the fact that once the finances was dealt with, you want to still. You're saying that then you acquired the entire animal. You're saying that you acquired it. It's your animal then.
We're shepping it, yeah.
You're saying that. No, it's not Geneva. It's not Geneva. Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to look at it. Let's give him one more line in Mishneh Berurah. Afilu yesh lahem shtayim. Toya evshalem. You could have said, "Ima akum yisratze lechalkon, yechalkem mechayim." You could have said that. Well, if the guy is happy, you split it into two halves. Kamash malon, the einu mechiv lachlo. You don't have to divide it into two. He comes. We don't have to actually divide it into two. Lo yimi boya. Not only in a case, even if it's a case, certainly in a case that you only need half the animal yom tov, then when you divide it and you shech the animal for the sake of a little bit of meat, the rest of the meat would go to waste. Elo, but afilu tzorich lekula behema. Even in the scenario, they need the entire behema. And you want to shech the animal. Both of them. And the goy is happy to give half, to divide it half up. Gam kein, we also say, lo amrino leilachloik. ואפילו שתי הבהמות שובס במר וקוים דמהם תאב שדאין הבוסר של הבהמה זו שומן ומותום כבוסר בהמה אחרס וניחלי תווי שיוכל מבוסר שתי הבהמות. He says, even if you've got two animals, it's inevitable that one of them has got slightly more value than the other. It's inevitable that one of them has got slightly more value than the other. You never have exactly two identical cows. So even if you says that in terms of the finance, there still needs to be an element which needs to be figured out. Maybe he owes you a tenner, maybe, you know, you owe him £50. There might still be some financial sorting out that needs to be done, which will be done. But nevertheless, there is a het over here. As far as the het of shechit is concerned, you may shecht one of the two, and similarly, also you may shecht and have half of the full behemah. And that teaches us an enormous amount about shutfas. That shutfas is, how do you call it? Is that called shutfas?
It's the one that you can't sell, it's not severable. And tenants in common is the one where you
can. So that's what it is, it's the latter.
It's the more flexible.
Yeah.
You can just.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So that's that we learn about shutfas over here. Yeah, so that's the yisod which we can learn from this case of shechita. Having understood this yisod over here, Shulchan Aruch now moves on top of page 218 with another yisod in the Shabbos and the Yom Tov, which is the following: Hashoichet behemah b'yom tov, somebody who shechts an animal on Yom Tov. Einu resha, you may not litlosh atzema. Last is mokum le sakin. Now, normally, what you would do when you shecht an animal, you would take a bit. You take the wool is. You normally pull off some of the wool in order to make a
bull patch.
That's it, the bull patch to shecht. You don't want to have a mess when you're shechting and having all the wool getting all over the place and therefore creating a slightly mess. So it would be much more practical and much more, shall I say, hygienic way, or the common way of doing it is that you actually pull off some wool and that's where you're going to shecht. It's much more practical and much better. Can you do that on Yom Tov or not? Because we learned you are allowed to shecht. And yes, we've learned you can shecht. Of course you can shecht. So does that mean you can also take off the wool which is there where you normally would? That's what you would do on a normal weekday. On around the Monday, You're going to take off the wool before you shecht. Can you do so on Yom Tov too? Yes or no? Here comes Shulchan Aruch and teaches us. Hashechet b'hem b'yom tov. Somebody who slaughters an animal on Yom Tov. Ein reshai. You're not allowed. Litlo shatzemo. Take off the wool. Lasso is to create. Mokam a place. Lasakin for the knife. Ella, rather, what are you going to do? Mefaneo b'yodoi. Take away with your hand. Remove it. Push it away. Push it to the side. Umoishchoi elo be'elov. And you pull. You pull it a bit to the side and to the side. You like shake it a bit, both the wool and the animal, and you shake it in a way. Ve'im nitlash, and if it does come off, nitlash it does come off. So you may not directly take the animal and start pulling out the wool. That you may not, but you may take the animal and kind of push it a bit and shake it a bit. And then, and holding the wool in one hand, and if it comes off, it comes off, which is likely to happen, but not necessarily. So that's the way you're allowed to do. And by doing this potential, likely way of removing the wool, but then you'd have actually the place where you could check where you could check easily. Very good. That's the discussion over here. We'll see that in the Mishnah Berurah. Siv Koton Samach Beis Litlo Shatzem. Dave Oike Dovah Megidula. The reason why you may not do so in the first instance is because it is Oike Dovah uprooting something from Gidula, from its growing place. Ve'av, and although Ve'av Kelach Hayat, although this is really a Kelach Hayat, an irregular way of. Although this is an irregular way of removing the wool, how would you normally do it? That's right. The after the kachayat, so the ein derech lahosi atzema le detlish reg de gziza. Normally, you don't pull off. You normally don't pull out. You normally cut it, or rather, you shear it. So to pull it out is not the normal way of doing things. Therefore, the pulling off of the tzema is considered kelachayat, because that's not the normal way of removing the wool. Therefore, it's drabonon al kaponim. Nevertheless, drabonon also it's still also drabonon. This is an important point. Rabbi said that anything that normally you would cut, it's important. Chashavas, it's important in many other areas. In Shul Chashavas, we find it as well sometimes for whenever there's any hair or anything that normally would grow, you normally cut with scissors. If you pull it out with, that's actually only midrabanon, because it's endech tlisha rekel de gziza. All right, so here also the wool is something which normally you would normally pull it off. But now you can do this. So what you can do, we said, you can mifaneu biyodo. You can like pull it off with your hand biyodo veloy bekli mishum dinere kigoyzeis. But you can do that, but you cannot do it with your hand. So the permitted fashion of doing it by like shaking the animal and shaking the wool and like making like this. So that you can only do that with your hand. If you're actually using a keli for that, like you're clicking onto the, you're like holding onto the wool and doing like this, that would be nirik goes, that would be also ready. And if it comes off, it comes off. Now, what is it based on? Why can you do this? Pushing and pulling way. To create a place for the Mokum Shechita. Why can he do that? So here comes the Mishnah Berurah of Kotten Samach Dalet. Ve'im bo Yisur, there is no Issa within this way. Why so? To have a Dovo she'enu mischaven. Because this is a Dovo she'enu mischaven. She'enu mischaven. Little is because your intention is not to pull off and to pull out the wool. Hello, rather, lefanois. To create space. I'm finding this a bit difficult to understand, to be honest. I'm no shoychet, far from. But it's a bit hard because let's put ourselves psychologically in the mind of the shoychet. What does he do on a Monday? What does he do on a Wednesday? He removes all the wool. Now it comes along Yom Tov, but then you're allowed to shecht. Now you're not allowed to take it off because it's also. So you're allowed to put it like this, push it and pull it a bit, and thereby the animal that it's going to come off. Perhaps it's going to come off. Hopefully it's going to come off. So your intention is going to come off, and therefore you can have an area which is empty, and you can shecht there more easily. Now we're telling us that what so the Mishnah Berurah asks, why do I have to do that? It's not your really intention to take off the wool. The intention is really to make an empty space. I'm finding it very hard to understand. If I'd be a shoychet, it would be Dovashi. It would be Mishaven. Mishnah Berurah said it's not Einim, it's called Einim Mishaven. Because you really want is a it's an empty, is a bald patch, and it's not really. Yeah,
and that and because the primary purpose is to make it clean and simple. You know, the wool is very much agar. Maybe that's why it's okay for.
Why can't you take the skin off animal? Why can't you take off? You should have the chicken, you've got to take the feathers off.
Yeah, because you're right, we're going to speak about that. That's going to be the next. Let's see if you've got Yud Gimel. So the truth is, when it comes to eating, you're allowed to take them off. You're allowed to skin the animal, and you're allowed to take the because that's required. It's an absolute requirement for the eating of for the cooking, for the eating of the animal. Now there's going to be. This over here is not inevitable. It's not machshirin she ef shala. It's not something that.
Is that one of the Mishnah Berurah is getting
at Samachel? Yeah, that he may not. He says basically, even if it does come off, just leave it there. Like keep it a bit messy.
He's not trying to. He's trying to loosen it sufficiently that he's got makom for the stuff. Maybe we can say that.
As opposed to actually.
He doesn't, I mean, he's not displeased if it is detached, but he's not necessarily setting out to detach
it. Yeah, I hear. I'm finding it very dachistic, but I hear. That must be the answer. That must be the answer.
If you show the wall for money, then let's say it's very hard to say that it's any mishaven because it kind of is part of the equation, isn't it? You check the. And I can sell the wall later on in the market after the object for the money. It's kind of. If you just throw the wool in the bin, maybe it makes it easier to.
You're saying that if he's selling it, then there's an additional cheshbon that he wants to make money out of this.
He can't say his name is coming.
Yeah, because he wants to make his money as well. Yeah. Pardon? You're not so much. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's saying that financially he's got very little monetary, doesn't have much value. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, alright, okay, gentlemen, let us summarize what we covered this evening. We spoke about the Shutfus case initially. The Shutfus both of sharing an animal with a goy, or sharing two animals with a goy. So both of them you're allowed to shecht. In both instances, you're allowed to shecht. Whether you own a half or whether you own one out of the two, you're allowed to shecht, which teaches us a thing or two about the definition of Shutfus and partnership in Torah. We learned, if you'd base, that you're not allowed to. Pull lechatchila when you shechting an animal, you're allowed to pull off the wool in order to make a bald patch for the shechita. You are allowed to have a pull the animal to either direction in order to make space. And if thereby the wool comes off, fine, shine, then it doesn't matter either. And we learned the reason for that is because it's dosh and mischaven, and it seems to be that it's not a psikesha, it's not inevitable, but it could very well be that it's not going to come off. And yes, that's what we've called this evening. So I wish you a very, very good evening.